The first Easter was so good because the Friday before was so bad. On Friday, the church commemorates a crucifixion. This morning, we celebrate a resurrection. Easter is so good because Friday was so bad. And the Saturday in between, it commemorates desperation. Desperation. On that Saturday, it seemed like Jesus was totally defeated. His body lay in a cold, dark tomb. He had been crucified a cruel death on a cross, and the final thrust of the spear ensured that he was finished. Jesus had gone silent. Death was absolute. To many of us today, we live lives of Saturday's quiet desperation. We're aware of the cross. We want Easter's promise. But we're still unable to move into that whole reality of living the resurrection. The good news is that we're about to see how we can get unstuck from Saturday and move into Sunday. The good news is Christ is risen. You know, the church has been reading the story. It's the Bible in a continuous form for God and God's people. We started last fall, and we are continuing through from Genesis to Revelation. And I want to give credit to the editors of the story, Randy Frazee and Max Licato, because it's been a great journey, and it leads to today's chapter, number 27. It's titled, The Resurrection. So on page 382, we read about Saturday from the book of Matthew. Oftentimes, we don't pay attention to that day in between. What happened on Saturday? The next day, so we're talking about Saturday, the one after Preparation Day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. The last deception will be worse than the first." From Matthew 27, 62 through 64. So what is that telling us? The Pharisees, they made plans to ensure that the world stayed stuck in Saturday. The day after Jesus' death was a no courage, no hope, no plans day. The disciples, they were filled with the opposite of courage. While the opponents of Jesus were celebrating his death, they were hiding in fear, afraid that they would be the next victims of their crucifixions. The day before the resurrection was a no courage day. Do you ever experience days like that? No courage days? You know, today when anxiety and fear have you hiding behind closed doors. It's the kind of day when you're afraid that things are only going to get worse. It's the day when fears feel bigger than faith and you're paralyzed because, to tell you the truth, nothing seems to change. It's when courage is sapped and strength is gone and you're just plain stuck. If you experience days like that, you're not alone. We're in the midst of an epidemic of anxiety and fear that just doesn't seem to be going away even after we thought it would. It feels like somehow we get stuck in this continuous cycle of no courage days. In Texas, I had a friend named Wally. He was the kind of guy that would give you courage just having him around. You know, I was fresh out of high school and I was ready to go out into the big world, so I traveled south to the border with Mexico and started looking for work and landed in Corpus Christi, and our new neighbor was Wally. So he was about my age, but Wally had this unique quality that made people around him feel courageous. He was kind, and he was big. I mean, really big. He was like 6'8", big and stocky. So no matter where I went in the city, I wasn't afraid as long as Wally was with me. Because no one was willing to hassle me because that meant they would have to contend with Wally. You know, I think that's how the disciples must have felt on that fateful Friday. As long as Jesus was around, they could be courageous. He was their rescuer. But on Saturday, all that courage was buried in the tomb with Jesus. Saturday was a no-courage day. You know, if you've experienced days like that, then you probably empathize with the disciples as they hid in every corner of Jerusalem, worried that the next cross is going to bear their name. They may be at this point fixed on Jesus' words when he said to them, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your way, take up your cross, and follow me. Wow, quite a depiction after watching Jesus' crucifixion. It's hard to be a Jesus follower on a no courage day. Saturday was a no hope day as well. It could have been a day of hope. I mean, after all, Jesus had promised many times big things would happen on that third day. It could have been, but it wasn't. And a no hope day, it's a tough place to be. Maybe you live by an admirable attitude that as long as you have breath, you have hope. Well, what happens when you no longer have breath? The disciples got stuck in a no-hope Saturday because all they could see was death. Over and over, the disciples, in the Gospels, Jesus said that Friday and Saturday were coming, but he knew they weren't tracking with him. He asked them, do you still not understand? And they didn't, right? They just didn't get it. Do we get it fully? The disciples were stuck in this suspended no-hope loop that took them from Friday and the cross to Saturday and the grave and then back again. The cross, the grave, the cross, the grave, the cross, the grave. Even though Jesus taught them multiple times that the events of Friday and Saturday, they were only a prelude to what was coming. In Mark chapter 8, Jesus said, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed. It's all prelude to what comes next. And after 3 days, rise again. Jesus told them, don't tell anyone you have seen him after his crucifixion, what you have seen, until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. Say that with me. Raised from the dead. The fear and the grief and the sadness of Friday and Saturday are a prelude to what's coming, but they were stuck. Are you stuck in the prelude? In the movie The Hunger Games, there's an evil character called Snow. He's trying to contain hope in his land. He clearly understands what's at stake. Hope, he says, is the only thing stronger than fear. A little hope is effective. A lot of hope is dangerous. It's dangerous to those who are trying to diminish it, but it's life to those who embrace it. If you have hope, you have everything. You know, on the day of resurrection, the day before the resurrection, the disciples, they had lost hope. They allowed fear to overwhelm them, and they simply did not trust the promise of the resurrection. A no-courage day, a no-hope day, and Saturday is a no-plans day. In Mark chapter 16, we read that very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance to the tomb? You see, the women here in Mark's gospel went to the tomb. They didn't plan on seeing death defeated on Sunday morning. They didn't plan to talk to Jesus. They planned to embalm him. You know, embalming is a burial custom that displays their intent. They had no other plans than the tomb, the grave. You know, the followers of Jesus on that Saturday, for them it was Desperation Saturday. We also easily can get stuck. We get stuck in a Saturday state of mind with no courage, no hope, no plans, believing that death is the final word. I know we know the story, we've heard it, but we get stuck. You know, everybody dies. We try to avoid that reality. We brush our teeth. We eat good food. We take our vitamins. We pay our bills. We go to the doctor. We raise our kids right. But death still comes. What do we do with that? Nobody beats it. You know, this year, we have seen the deaths of Lisa Marie Presley, David Crosby of Crosby, Stills, Nash. The Minnesota coaching star Bud Grant died. A Roman Catholic Pope died on December 31st, Benedict. You know, music legends, sports greats, religious pillars all get buried in a tomb. So how do we move beyond Saturday and get to Sunday? Max Lucado, he shares the story of his brother, Dee. Dee was outgoing. He said, friend-making, joy-bringing kind of guy. He was a personal ambassador to his shy younger brother, Max. In his teen years, Dee met a bootlegger, and alcohol trapped him. And so for 40 decades, he drank away his health, his friends, his jobs, his money. But then at age 54, he made a serious decision to join AA. His life and marriage stabilized, but the years of alcohol and smoking 3 packs a day left Dee in very fragile health. So he began to have chest pains, and he was rushed to the hospital by ambulance, but by the time his wife Donna and one of their sons arrived, Dee was gone. They went in to see his now dead body, and one of his hands was resting on his thigh with his fingers curled in the international sign language form of "I love you." Max says he knows why he did that. As Dee realized that he was running out of breath, rather than cower and panic and fear, he found courage and faced death unafraid. How did he do it? By God's grace, he moved out of Saturday into Sunday. You know, the same thing that moved Dee to get unstuck can also move us on to Sunday. Pastor Rick Warren, he writes, "You see, the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus happened on 3 days. 3 days. Friday was the day of suffering and pain and agony. We get that. Saturday was the day of doubt and confusion and misery. But Easter, that Sunday, was the day of hope and joy and victory. And it's that way for us too. We have our Fridays and Saturdays. We do, and they're difficult. We know it. We've experienced it. No courage, no hope, no planned days. But Sunday comes. Sunday comes. It's the message of Easter, the day of hope and joy and victory. That day comes. And we go back in Scripture. We'll take a look back in John 20. We join Mary at the tomb, and we see what happens that gets the disciples unstuck and moving from Saturday on to Sunday. In John chapter 20, it says, "Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, the other at the foot. And they asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They have taken my Lord away,' she said, 'and I don't know where they have put him.'" That's interesting. As we read this passage in John, Mary Magdalene seems to be so stuck in Saturday in that state of mind that she is missing something pretty huge here, an empty tomb. You know, but how can we blame her? On Friday, she had buried her friend, and not only a friend, but she'd buried the only person who had helped her. The scripture says she was afflicted by 7 demons. In the Bible, that number typically represents completeness. So she was completely afflicted. You know, maybe paranoia, depression, epilepsy. We don't even know what all was going on there, but it was a lot. And most people want to steer clear of a person like that, but not Jesus. He befriended her, and Mary found in him not just a friend, but a future. And on Saturday, both had been buried in a grave. She was stuck on Saturday. She was so stuck in this despair and this grief that she missed the miracle that was right before her. And we might ask, how did she miss it? You know, even seeing angels didn't take away her desperation. How did she miss that? How did that one not open her mind to Sunday? You know, we think, how is it possible to miss the truth right before us? But sometimes we do. Sometimes we miss it. If we're stuck in those no courage, no hope, no plan Saturdays, we need to ask ourselves, am I missing it too? It's really hard to believe that Saturday's desperation can actually blind us to the truth, but it does. That it can keep us from experiencing transforming joy that is actually right before us, but it can. So how do we move past Saturday? What makes the difference for Mary? Well, in this passage, it's really one thing. Mary is chosen by Jesus to see him at the tomb. Consider it. The eyewitness account says, "At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?' Thinking, he was the gardener. She said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go get him." See, Mary still didn't recognize Jesus. She was still stuck. But Jesus responds with patience. He showed her the same compassion that he showed her before his death. He said, "Mary." And with that, she turned around toward him and cried out, "Teacher." Jesus spoke Mary's name, and only then does she realize it's true. It's true. Jesus, her Lord, her friend, her rescuer, he's alive, he's risen. It's true. Saturday could not hold him. Sunday has arrived. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brother and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Jesus gave Mary exactly what she needed to move out of Saturday into the joy of Sunday. He gave her himself. You know, on that first Easter, it may have been Sunday morning, but the disciples were stuck. And then they weren't. So what happened? Maybe you've been stuck where they were. You're afraid that things are only going to get worse. Your fears feel bigger than your faith sometimes. You feel paralyzed because nothing seems to change for better. It just seems to get worse. Your courage is sapped. Your strength is gone. And your hope is just hanging by a thread. And you're stuck in the tomb of Saturday's desperation. I want you to hear this today. If you're not there now, you may be there at one time. I want you to hear this. God has not given up on you. Don't give up on God. Don't give up. Sunday is coming. Say that with me. Sunday is coming. And Sunday changes everything. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Jesus doesn't give up on Mary, not when she missed the empty tomb, not when she dismissed the wonder of angels, not when she mistook Jesus for a gardener. He just kept coming. He just kept talking. He just kept pursuing her. He didn't give up on Mary, and he doesn't give up on you. His message is this: Saturday will always be followed by Sunday. Always. Sunday, the day that swallows up those no hope, no courage, no plan Saturdays of our lives and exchanges them for the new hope, new life, new days of eternal love Sunday. Weeping, the scripture says, may go on for a day, but joy, joy comes in the morning. And no matter what life's Fridays and Saturdays bring, Sunday is coming. His invitation to you is this: move on. Move on from the last day of death to the first day of life. You know, we can live in the resurrection when we are certain that the tomb is empty. Friends, he is risen.
He is risen.
Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your resurrection. Thank you for all that you have done, going through Friday, going through Saturday, and Lord, on Sunday morning, the great joy of resurrection. We celebrate that today, that you are alive. And Lord, we want to move into that full life of resurrection, resurrection life of Sunday morning. And so today, we ask, Lord, fill us with your life. Fill us with your spirit, that we may trust and believe without a doubt. And Lord, launch beyond our worries and our struggles and our fears and our pains and our doubts, Lord, that we may come before you in all your glory and say with all conviction, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Thank you, Jesus. We pray in your name.